I was just thinking this morning as I was writing the newsletter for this next month, December, that we're just finishing the 14th year as the director of Light and Liberty. 14 years, can you? I can't even imagine it's been that long. Life goes by so fast, does it not? Things happen, things change, and one thing never changes when I go into the jail, hearing those doors clang behind me. I don't know if you've ever heard a door clang in a jail, but if you've never experienced that, you should experience it at least once. Not because you have to be there, but because it gives you a whole different sense of what freedom is really all about. You asked me for an update, Light and Liberty. Light and Liberty is a jail ministry. We minister the gospel of Jesus Christ to the staff and inmates of correctional facilities. There's a whole group of people today that would like to get us to stop using the word inmate, because inmate has bad connotations to it. And really, what to me, what they want to replace it with is returning citizen. And all I can think of is a dog returns to its own vomit, and a sow after washing returns to wallowing in the mire. I was coming over here this morning, and as I was coming over here this morning, I realized that I was back in the sun. I took my wife's mirror. She's driving, and I took the mirror and put it down, the visor, and put it down and saw the mirror that I had some sun on my face. And it reminded me of the old story. How is insurance like a hospital gown? You're never covered as much as you think you are. And I wasn't covered. I had sun on my face, and really soon I can get a very bad sunburn really, really quickly. You know, our inmates are never covered as much as they think they are. They think they're doing okay. Each one of us thinks we're doing okay. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray, though. Each one of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him, on Jesus, the iniquity, the charges of us all. And, you know, it seems like sometimes that there's no way to get inmates from where they are to where he is. Because how are you going to do that? I used to go in and teach classes. I used to teach classes every time I went into the jail. Anymore, I'm taken away from classes to go talk to the one. You know how Jesus said to leave the 99 behind and go to the one? Well, that's what I'm doing, and I find that a lot more fulfilling, because when you're going to the one, you have an opportunity one-on-one to share with somebody what God has done in your life and what he will do in their life. I was talking to a guy in segregation last Thursday. I got to his door. I'm going door to door. It's segregation is just it's a pod where everybody's locked down. And so you're going door to door to door. Through the door, you're talking to them about the Lord. Or whatever they want to talk about. Start with where they are, right? And you take them from where they are to where he is. Yes or no? It's not a hard process. Somebody said this morning as I was coming in the door, they said, "Boy, that's a special gift that you have there." And you know, the simple fact is, it's not so much a special gift. It's just, it's not the ability to go. It's just going. Yes or no? And some people think, man, I could never do that. I could never go into a jail. And I got to tell you, it's so simple to go in and talk to somebody. It's as simple as walking across the street and talking to somebody about the Lord. But guess what? We don't do that either sometimes, yes or no? Isn't this the statistic that very few church members even talk to somebody about the Lord anymore? I'm not talking about your church. I'm talking about church members in general. They just don't talk about the Lord. And to share your faith with somebody else is often almost unheard of. But the simple fact is, it's as simple as just going across the street or going door to door. So I was talking to this guy in segregation. I got to his door, and I asked him if he'd like me to pray with him. What I could do for him, he said, could you pray with me? I said, sure, what would you like me to pray? I always ask him that. What would you like me to pray? And them. I always ask them. that. Yeah, like there's some kind of diseased population or something. They're not. They're just people that have made some bad choices, yes or no? Don't we all make bad choices? All we like sheep have turned astray. Each one of us has turned to his own way. But the simple fact is, as I was talking to this guy, he asked me to pray with him. So I did. I prayed with him and asked, I don't even remember what I asked. I asked him what he wanted me to pray. And he says, I want you to pray whatever you want to pray. That's sort of unusual. I left his door and went on to the next door and the next door and the next door as I'm going cell by cell across the whole of segregation in that facility. And as I'm going door to door, I get to the end of all the doors and ready to walk out of the pod. And this guy calls me back over. And he said, Steve, I wanted you to tell you something. Do you know the last time you were here was back in October? I go to jail every week. And I'd forgotten what had been happening this last week because I started coughing about 8 weeks ago, maybe 9 weeks now. And I coughed and I coughed. And I coughed. And, you know, respiratory issues can really get you down after a while. Anybody here has respiratory? Okay, well, I won't ask. But, you know, the simple fact was, as I was gone for 8 weeks, just recently I returned again, going back to the jail. And so I was there on the 14th of November in segregation talking to this guy. And he says, you haven't been here since October. Oh, man. I thought, wow, that's amazing. It's actually been longer than that, probably, but he's being kind. And the simple fact was, he wanted to tell me, pulling me back over to his doorway, he wanted to tell me that he didn't like the prayer I'd prayed last time we were there. Very much. Because he was expecting that God would just free him clear, and he's going to the judge, and the judge was going to set him free, and everything was going to be fine. How many times have I heard that one before? Oh, they're going to see how great a guy I am, and they're going to let me right out of this place. But the simple fact was, he didn't like it because I prayed a prayer. I always pray whatever they want me to, exactly what they want me to pray. I ask them what they want me to pray, and then I pray exactly that, and then I lead them from where they are to where he is through the prayer, or whatever else we're talking about. And it's not difficult. Any one of you could do it. I promise you, if you will just open your mouth for the Lord, you will be surprised at what God will do. He'll pour into your heart and soul exactly what he wants to give you for that person. And as you're helping somebody else, you're always helping yourself. You're always seeing, you're always going to see more and more of who God is and what he's doing in your life. It's an amazing process. Don't miss the opportunity. Take the opportunity. You get somebody to talk to somewhere about the Lord. Just take a message. Just take a minute and talk about anything, what God puts in your heart. So there I was in segregation. I went door to door from one cell to another. The one man, I wrote this morning, there was one man who asked me to pray whatever I wanted. So we prayed and I continued on down the line. But before I left the pod, he called me back over to his door to tell me what had happened. The date was November 14th. He told me I hadn't been there since October. Could it have really been that long? Yes, it was. That was true. I'd been very sick with respiratory issues and obesity. In fact, within the last 2 months, the doctor had ordered me to reduce my weight by 2 to 3 pounds a week for 8 weeks before he saw me again on the 11th of November. And I had complied, dropping from 216 to 191. So when I saw the doctor again before returning to the jails on November 12th, the doctor told me that all the women on staff were jealous. How was that? By dropping 25 pounds, he said. So what the inmate had said was true. I had actually not been there for quite a while. When we prayed the last time, he hadn't liked my prayer. He thought that when he asked me to pray, that God would simply take all of his problems away and he could go to court and be free and clear. Instead, he's remaining in prison for the next 4 months. Then he will be done with everything, including probation. But he had to struggle with that. He had to be humbled to that, he said. It was sort of an interesting commentary on what was going on in his life, and I just sort of thought it was sort of fun because it sort of gives a picture of what God had been doing in his life, yes or no? And you asked me for an update about what we've been doing. I haven't been doing much of anything. I've been coughing. coughing and coughing and coughing. And not contagious that I know of. My wife didn't get it, did you? See, she didn't get it. There's a lot of respiratory issues going on. I think it's called peroxynitrite, if you want to look it up. There's an NIH study out there, a government study, talking all about peroxynitrite and what it's doing in our world and where it's coming from. And I won't go into all that about 5G and all the other things that are happening. But the simple fact is that this guy, he wanted to tell me, to bring me back to his door to tell me that God had done something in his life, changed him. And I was excited about that. Give you an update. I don't know what to update you. Last time I was here, the last four or five times I've been here, once a year or so, I've asked you what it is that you would like me to update you on. So what I would like to do this morning, for a few minutes anyway, is for you to ask your questions. What is it that you would like an update on? How can I tell you more about who Light and Liberty is and what we're doing in the world, or anything else that you'd like to talk about here? This is your time. I was tell you what I was going to do while you're thinking about it. I was going to take you to Ezekiel 43:10-11. Has anybody got that Bible? Can look that up for me? Ezekiel 43:10-12, I think it is. Then we'll entertain your questions here. Somebody can find that and read it for me. 43:10-12, somewhere in there. All right.
It says, "As for you, son of man, describe the temple to the house of Israel, so they may be ashamed of their iniquities."
Can we stop you for just a minute? So that they can be ashamed of their iniquities. I want you to go talk to Israel and tell them about their iniquities. Tell them about the temple, so they can be ashamed about their iniquities. That sounds like a strange thing to do. Yes or no? I remember God started talking about the temple. In fact, the people were talking about the temple just before they went down. Just before Judah went down, just before they were taken captive for 70 years over to Babylon. And there they are saying, "The temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, we're the temple, we're the church. And nobody's going to put us down. We're not going down. Here's the Babylonians surrounding us. It ain't going to happen because we're the temple of the Lord." And you know, they went down anyway. And for 70 years they were gone, but God had already told them it was going to happen. I mean, I went back in the law and looking way back there in Leviticus, God had told them, if you say yes to me, you're going to get all these blessings. Leviticus 26. You're going to get all these blessings, but if you say no, you're going to get this curse and that curse and the other curse, and then it's going to get 10 times worse or 7 times worse, and then it's going to get 7 times worse, and then it's going to get 7 times worse, until finally you're kicked out of your own land. And there they were, kicked out of their own land. The temple of the Lord. They were the temple of the Lord. God's living in me. I don't know what to tell you about all that except to say this. I used to think that I wished I could remember what had happened to me since the time I gave my heart to the Lord when I was a little boy, until the time when I finally gave my heart to the Lord to go into the jail and start talking to people about the Lord. I said, I wish I could have a picture of the process, the step, the journey, the steps that it takes to go from here to here to here to here. And how do you get from where I am to where he is? How do you do that? If I could have just gone, so I asked the Lord, and I prayed, and I said, "Lord, could you give me the steps?" And I think I've told you before about some of those steps that I found. What God had done, and I was even thinking that I would do exactly what it says here in Ezekiel 43 this morning, and write that out in your presence. If I thought about it, I did think about it. We're back up here. Thank you. I got comfortable down there for a second. I think you used to use an overhead, didn't you? I've never seen you use an overhead. Is it still there? Really? Interesting. Anyway, I was thinking I could write those steps out for you. They're pretty simple. You go to Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we've obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exalt in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we also exalt in our tribulation, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. And hope does not disappoint because the love of God is poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Nine things. And that starts the whole process, the whole journey, and it's by faith. Justified by faith, we have peace with God. And it's got there's a whole journey there. And so I was going to do what it says in Ezekiel 43 here. Could you read the rest of that? This is the law of the house. The law, the temple, the law of the temple, the law of the house. And what he's wanting them to see is what the temple is. And if they're ashamed of all they've done, go into it in depth. What I found, basically, is that there's a lot of people in jail that aren't ashamed of what they've done. But there's some that are. And some people really, really want to know how they can take the next step, how they can get beyond where they are to be, how to go forward in life instead of going backward and getting captured and killed. And I want to tell you, when we get to that point where we want to know, God will show us. He's waiting patiently to show us. And the steps are so distinct and so clear. It's like step after step after step as you walk into God's presence. Yes or no? Until you get to Jude 25 and 26, 24 and 25. I think it's 24 and 25. Where he says, and now I can't remember a word of it. Jude 24. Somebody help me. His last two verses in Jude. And to keep you, and to make you stand in the presence of His glory, blameless with great joy. Can you imagine an inmate standing in God's presence with great joy, waiting patiently for what God has done all these years, and now look what's happened in his life. And to give you a picture of what happens for an inmate when he goes from here to here, when he turns from death to life, is amazing. And if they're ashamed of what they've done, they're going to go the distance. They're going to take the next step and the next step and the next step. And man, I love to see that. Yes? It's a beautiful process to see what God does in a person's life. So I wrote in our latest newsletter the whole process. That's the last page of it. That's the second page of it. No, that's the first. Page one, page two, page three, page four. A four-page process giving you wisdom and knowledge and understanding of what God's doing as He's taking us through the fruit of God's Spirit, the results that God wants to pour into us, love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. There's no law against those things. Nine things. Just like the nine things I just mentioned in about self-control in Romans 5. I can't connect this all up. I can't even show you. I begin to show people this and they go crazy. They say, Steve, what are you talking about? That doesn't take you anywhere. But other people are wide open to hear how to take the next step. And some of them are just like this guy that called me back to his door and wanted to know how to take wanted to tell me to thank you for what had happened in his life. What he didn't even think it was a good thing at the first, but later on it was a good thing. Update. Well, what's your questions? What is it that you would like to know about Light and Liberty? We've got one back here, and then I'll come to you.
I just want to know, I'm sure you go to NBC.
No.
Okay.
I used to. That's the biggest jail in New Mexico, and it's the one I was at all the time. I used to spend 50, 60 hours a week in that place, and it's a pressure cooker. It's an incredible, intense place. And all of a sudden, I was praying one day, and I said, Lord, where do you want me? What's going on? And it was like really crazy, but within just a few days, they told me I couldn't come back to MDC anymore. I was a chaplain out there. All of a sudden, I can't go back there anymore. And instead, he's got me going to all these different little jails. This little jail here and this little prison here, and I'm going all over the place. And I'm thinking, man, that is incredible. I was really mad at the time, huh?
How long ago did you stop going?
Oh, man, it's been years now. It was back... Do you remember?
I'd say 3 years.
It's longer than that. Okay. It's longer than that. I think it's like 2008, 2009. More like 10 years or so. But now I'm going to a lot of different little county jails and so forth. Last Thursday, I was at three different jails. One, two, three. They're actually all prisons. You know the difference between a jail and a prison, right? Huh? A prison is where you go after you've been sentenced. A jail is where you go while you're waiting to be sentenced. You haven't been sentenced yet. Okay. Anyway, did your question? I didn't get it.
Oh, I'm done.
Oh, you're done.
I'm done. Thank you.
Oh, did I answer it?
Yes.
Okay, good. A question. I used to have some statistics like that. The government puts out some statistics like that every so often, but they've gotten so old and nobody seems to be updating them, so it's sort of old hat and old stuff, but I could dig it out for you and send it to you if you'd like. I'd be happy to. But, yeah.
Why are you allowed in some jails and not in others? And have you ever been to the prison up in Santa Fe where they allow you to go there?
That's a great question. So I'll start with the first part of your question first. Why allowed in some and not in others? Usually it's something I've done. I've been kicked out of like three jails now. Most people want to get out of jail, and here I am trying to get into jail. That's crazy. But the reason I got kicked out of the second jail, Sandoval County Jail, was because of a rule at MDC. MDC has a rule that if the medical comes around, you got to stop whatever you're doing and let medical do their work, and then you can go back to teaching your class. That was a rule. Now, I got to Sandoval County, and here comes medical down the hall, and I want to stop them so that they can do what they need to do in my class, and I'll stop my class and let them do what they're going to do. So she's coming down the hall, and the guys see her, and they want to talk to her, so I stopped, and I let her come on in. She didn't want to come in, and she reported me for interrupting her process, and I was out of the jail. There's another guy in that same jail. I got back in. The former director of our ministry got me back in. But the amazing thing is there was another guy that was a volunteer. He was there every week talking to these guys with me. And we were in class, and one of the inmates asked him if he could change shoes with him. The guy's passed on now. He's with the Lord. But his name was Michael Prince. And the inmate had shoes that the name of his shoes were Michael Prince tennis shoes. So this inmate has been talking to this guy for a long time. I didn't know this was happening in the background. It just happened. And all of a sudden one day, the inmate convinced the volunteer to do something he never should have done, and that's to trade shoes with him. And the guard was watching. That guy almost went to jail himself for that day. He was almost kicked out of the... That was crazy. And you think about the things that can happen and why you get kicked out of one jail and why you're still in a different jail. I don't know. If you want a rule in a jail, ask for a rule and you'll get a rule. You don't need to ask for rules when you're going into a jail. Just go ahead and do what God's called you to do right there. Get the job done. Just open your mouth and God says, if you open your mouth, I'll fill it. And he does in Psalms. And he does over and over. Well, anyway, the second part of your question was about Santa Fe. I've never been to Santa Fe. I've thought about going to Santa Fe. I had a warden that told me I should go to Santa Fe, but still haven't gone there. And I don't know why. I just haven't. If the Lord wants me there, I'll go there. I don't have a problem with that. But the door just hasn't opened yet. So I have not been there, no. Been to a lot of other jails and prisons all over. For some reason, not Santa Fe. Yes, sir. The former director used to keep records like that. He used to keep all about who was going in under Light and Liberty and so forth. I've chosen not to do that. I don't need to know. We got a lot of people going in a lot of different places, but I do not know how many people we got or where and why and how. And I don't need to control that. Because the people that are volunteering are going to go in, and they're going to go in, and I'm just there to encourage them, to help them to get in, and any way I can do to encourage them to take the next step with the Lord. As far as the curriculum, we use Straight Street. No, I haven't got it there. I got it over here. First of all, we do a calendar. This is the calendar for next year. This is the 2020 calendar, Straight Street 12. And what we do is we get the inmates reading the Bible. So we give them 7 chapters to read every day. And they go, as they read, well, by the way, I don't know anybody on the outs that's going to even read 7 chapters a day, except you guys maybe. But a lot of people don't read that much, yes or no? But in the jail, they got time and I've gone segregation door to door, and I can see not what just where they checked off the actual day that day has passed, but they've checked off the readings, all 7 chapters, as they've read them day by day. And so I know they're reading. And I've seen guys that will say yes to the Lord, and I come back later and they're ready to open their heart to the Lord because they've read God's word and it comes alive in their heart. It's an amazing process. Straight Street starts there. It starts with reading God's Word. Straight Street goes from there for me I just happen to have the curriculum of Light and Liberty right here, as far as I'm concerned. Steps of Straight Street. 3 steps. I tell them, there's 3 steps of yes. Here's the steps of no. They already know the steps of no. I don't know. Ignorance. I don't care. Arrogance. Can't tell me what to do. Defiance. And when they get there, they're stuck. They don't even know how to take another step. They're stuck right where they are. Ignorance, arrogance, defiance. 3 steps of no. And I teach them, I show them how to take the steps of yes. I say yes, we call it faith. I keep saying yes, we call it hope. I say yes even when it hurts. What are we saying yes to? What we're responding to what Jesus did when he died for us on the cross. He died in my place. He died for my sins. I say yes. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. And I start walking with him. Because I can? No, because he died. Yes or no? And it's a simple process of getting them to say yes to the Lord. They can't even. We were dead in our trespasses and sins in which we once walked. According to the course of this world, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we all had our conversation in the past, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the heart. And we were children of wrath. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his love, great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our sins, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you're saved. And then going on to what the pastor was, overheard him talking out there, for by grace you're saved, verse 5, 7, 8, and 9, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace you're saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not as a result of works that no man should boast. For we're his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And the amazing thing is to see an inmate, a person that hates God and doesn't even care about God, open his heart to God and see him start changing. See the life that starts happening, a little, like a little rosebud, where the little bud comes up through the, and then all of a sudden it blossoms out. It's like it's an amazing process. It's beautiful. If you've never done that, if you've never experienced that, you need to experience that. That's an amazing process to see God bring life into a dead heart. Did I answer your question, sir? They use whatever curriculum they want. I'm not going to force them to my curriculum. This is what I use. This is what I teach. But that doesn't mean that anybody's going to follow what I teach. I'm not there to force my way on them. What does it say in the prophets? I think it says a little child will lead them. And sometimes, as you allow people to start where they are, and you take them from where they are to where he is, you're gonna have the opportunity to influence, lead them, to encourage them to go his way. And so that's the way I do it. I'm not there to force people to my way of thinking. I'm there to get them to God from where they are to where he is. And he loves us so much. So we do Straight Street, the steps of Straight Street, a chart where I say yes. I'm saying yes to the cross. I keep saying yes, and I go down the track with God. I say yes even when it hurts, and he starts shaping me. Or I say no, kick myself to the curb, and I sit over like this little guy crushed and dusty on the sidelines, wondering why. Why is this happening? Why? And why it gets bigger, takes over my life, until I come back and say yes. And then God starts shaping me in all these things. Love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. No law against those things. Man, it's so simple. They pushed me. The inmates are good at this. They'll take my arm and twist it behind my back and pull it up as high as they can and I say, ouch, it hurts. And they say, no, tell me more. And so I came to the second level. And this is the levels of Straight Street. And Jesus said, if anyone chooses to do the will of God, he'll find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. And then in John 8, he continues and says, if you continue in my word, then you're truly disciples of mine, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And so then I take him over to Proverbs chapter 2, where it says, my son, if you accept my words and treasure my commands within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your heart to understanding. For if you cry out for wisdom, incline your heart to understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for his hidden treasures, you will discern the fear of the Lord, discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. So I tell them that there's a five-step process there. Accept, store up, listen, understand, and search. And I always tell them, God got it wrong. Look it right there. I'll prove it to you. Accept, store up, listen, understand, and search. Because we all start with searching, then we try to understand, and then we'll start listening, and then we'll store it up, and finally we'll accept it. Who's got it wrong, God or us? Yes? But see, you don't see that. I mean, inmates, you guys would. Inmates don't see that. We all want to lead on our knowledge of God and our understanding of God so that we can do what God wants us to do. But Jesus said, no, if you choose to do the will of God, then you'll know my word. You'll know whether I'm speaking from God or on my own. I heard you. If you continue in my word, then you're truly disciples of mine, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. As you do, you're going to know, and then you're going to see. And so Straight Street is all built on that. It's built on doing, and then knowing and seeing. All this stuff that's here is not knowledge to pour into their heads. It's way too much. What it is a roadmap. It tells them how to take the next step. And we've had inmates that they get going God's way, and then all of a sudden they stop, and they don't know how to take the next step. I've had inmates even kill themselves. After coming to the Lord, they've killed themselves because they don't know how to take the next step. And so they twist my arm and force me to do this. This here is no more than these 9 steps right there. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It goes here in the next one. And I give them worksheets so they can actually write it out for themselves. And some of them do, believe it or not. Amazing. But there's levels where God perfects us and confirms us and strengthens us and establishes us so that we can bear all things and believe all things and hope all things and endure all things. And it's just these steps here ordered right here. I never would have saw this when I would never have seen this when I started doing all this. I had no idea what I'd done or what I was doing. I don't even understand what I'm doing. It's not about me. It's about him. It's about how we take somebody from where they are to where he is. And it's about getting them there. And you can do it. You can go that way. You can actually help people see who God is and see their life change. And you got people all around you can talk to. Please, just open your mouth. He'll fill it. I promise you, just open your mouth and tell them, say yes to God. Yes? Oh, you can't. I got a chaplain that's very, and I am very too, that believes a person is dead in their trespasses and sins, and there's no way you can help them until God turns on the light bulb. And I believe that. On the other hand, our job is what? To message the truth, yes or no? So you tell the truth so that they can change. I'm a newsboy. That's all I do. I go in and give the daily news and see where it pops out. And see, it's amazing what God does. I got a new one. I started out. There's two handouts right there, but I started a new one. This hasn't gone out yet. This is going to come. Our new newsletter is going to go out soon. It's going to have those same levels in it from last time, but it says the overall plan, score by score. This is called the Symphony of Straight Street handout, score by score, following the full measure to the finish of his work. The overall plan, self-control with love produces kindness. And then peace with faithfulness produces kindness. And Peter says, whereby we're perfected in kindness and confirmed in kindness. Next steps of straight street, self-control with peace produces goodness. And self-control with faithfulness produces gentleness. And thus we're both strengthened and established on straight street. But without love, we're only a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. So taking up the refrain, faithfulness with love produces patience as we learn to bear all things. Peace with love produces joy as we grow to believe all things. And now with intensity, the symphony builds to the finish as it uses what we've produced in the first levels. And gentleness with joy yields kindness as we hope all things. And goodness with patience yields kindness as we endure all things. And thus the kindness themes in the Alpha grows and builds through the kindness of the Omega. He's the Alpha, he's the Omega, and he builds me from start to finish. And it's just step by step. That's my curriculum. My curriculum is God's Word. It's just what God says. And I lay it out for the inmates to give them something that they can hang on to, a hat rack they can hang on to, something they can say, oh, look, this is where I'm going. I'm reading God's Word, and God's Word's changing my life. Time to land. And so I'm going to land right now. We're going to land it down, and I got time for one more question. What is it? Yes?
Do you have great plans once they get out into a church?
That's an excellent question. And the simple fact is, I can't keep in touch. If I see him in the jail, it's one thing, but I can't keep in touch. The jail, the prison, the system will not allow me to correspond as I'm going to all these different prisons. They don't want the interflow of information out there, and they don't want me to correspond with these people, so I can't keep in touch with them. Now, if they come to me, that's one thing, and I can point them to a church once they get out, but very rarely does that happen. Because it's usually 10 years, maybe 15 years. For most of the people I'm talking to, they got 20-year sentences sometimes. And I'm not going to see them again. So in order for them to take advantage of that, but God has made a way for that to happen. And I see it happening over and over.